In Manhattan, a lost world is taking shape in a huge workshop at the American Museum of Natural History. Exhibitors say it will be the most up-to-date dinosaur show ever, as part of a series on Morning Edition about art and science. NPR's Christopher Joyce visits the museum to see how artists, writers, and scientists work together to create a vision of the Mesozoic era.
It's always tempting at a museum to sneak down one of those corridors where it says no admittance. If you find the right stairwell in this vast building, you might end up at a place the locals call Santa's Workshop. Big tables are littered with cardboard cutouts and wire frames. Workers run table saws and power staplers. And behind a wall, as if it were some sort of state secret, a 6-foot-long dinosaur, or at least a model dinosaur.
Are we going to do it with the mouth open or closed?
I haven't quite decided. I think open a little bit. And I wanted to have an eagle-type tongue that would be just visible at the tip.
Mark Norell and Jason Brome are molding gray epoxy onto a wire frame. They are building a fierce-looking 130-million-year-old member of the Tyrannosaur family called DeLong Paradoxus. Norell is the museum's top dinosaur hunter. He has a mop of wild hair and wears denim, and he probably still has sand from the Gobi Desert in his pockets. Brome is an artist whose job is to marry the principles of Greek sculpture with a lot of bird anatomy.
So this right here, there isn't a muscle there, right? That's just kind of filler.
Well, there is. There's actually a series of tendons that come back up here that help support the back of the tail.
The artists and the scientists are both seeking the reality of dinosaur life, how they looked and how they worked. Norell is the scientific conscience of the new exhibit, called Dinosaurs Alive, Ancient Fossils, New Ideas. He says scientists have learned a lot of new things about dinosaurs recently, like how close they are to birds.
Most of the things that traditionally have been called dinosaurs, people will look at them and just say that they're, you know, they look just like kind of unusual birds with teeth or tails and things like that. You know, you can take like a chicken bone that you eat, like the thigh, or the drumstick down here, and you can bring it to the museum and you can hold it up and you can stand in front of the Tyrannosaur downstairs and look at it and it looks the same.
Norell has been exploring what he calls the last best place for dinosaur bones, Liaoning in northeast China. He and his Chinese colleagues have found plenty of new ones there, some with feathers, one with 4 wings, and a sleeping dinosaur with its fossilized head tucked under its forearm and body. Norell rolls out a tabletop model of what will be a huge diorama of a Liaoning swamp, as it was 130 million years ago. It looks like something designed for a train set, except the 6-inch trees look like pineapples with ferns on top, and some of the animal models are very strange.
This is the DeLong model right here, of the animal that we saw Jason working on, sitting here drinking. And then down underneath here we're going to have fishes swimming, and we're going to have salamanders and little crocodile-like animals, and then we're going to have water striders and some of the other sort of insects, aquatic insects that we've found on top of the water. The little sleeping dinosaur that we have is going to go right here. So it's going to be by far the most realistic and accurate fossil diorama which has ever been constructed.
Artists photograph the New Jersey pine barrens to get ideas on how to paint the canvas backdrop. Each leaf in the diorama will be hand-cut to match the shape of actual fossil leaves. And, of course, the exhibit will have dinosaur bones. On the shelves of a basement bone room, thigh bones measure about 6 feet long. It takes a forklift to move those. What bone manager Carl Melling wants are vertebrae from the giant plant-eating dinosaur Diplodocus. He climbs a ladder to find one the right size.
36 and a half high, 14 wide.
Each bone's about as big as a microwave oven and weighs about 40 pounds.
About 13 deep.
They'll use these to rebuild part of the dinosaur's tail. But for full anatomical accuracy, each tail vertebra needs a companion bone called a chevron. Those are stored somewhere among the thousands of drawers in the museum. In those drawers, there are hundreds of thousands of bones. Even to a trained eye, a lot of them look pretty much the same. After some dedicated searching, Melling finds a drawer with the tailbone chevron.
Jackpot.
second door.
Here they are.
But are they the right ones?
I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take a bunch of these downstairs and see if they can. We can fit them on to the, that particular vertebra.
Well, we've never really done this, but why can't the type just be 6 foot? 6 foot later.
Gosh, Greg, you've really outdone yourselves, haven't you?
In a meeting room near the dinosaur workshop, writers and artists meet to design the entrance to the new exhibit. The question at hand, how to draw people into it. Giant letters spelling out dinosaur is the working hypothesis. Editor Lori Halderman coordinates.
I think it's great. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
I don't know how you deal with kids climbing on letters, but you'll work that out. Right, that E
just
cries out for somebody to get up to the top. I know my son will.
Once people are in the exhibit, the trick is to get them excited and also teach them something without burying them in details.
If we give you a question, we want to make sure that it's easy for you to find the answer. In this instance, for example, why is it so hard to be big and fast? Bones, muscles, and posture all play a part. Those turn out to be on three
Dino
separate
team. Layers. Dino team.
All of this effort, the graphics, the Chinese forest, the bones and reconstructed dinosaurs, plus video screens and explanatory panels, all of it will be poured into a single exhibit room. Carpenters have just started building the diorama. Otherwise, it's mostly strips of tape on a shiny floor. Exhibitions director David Harvey and several team members walk through, engaging in what you might call imagineering.
We're standing here looking at blue tape on the floor, and we're all talking as if we're looking at the final product.
I hope
it's,
can't you see it?
I hope it's the same in all of our imaginations. But we're here to find out if it is. And this section will be a huge attractor.
This section is hot.
The question is really, do we catch them with the Scientists at Work video on the way in, or do we catch them on the way out?
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to look at
the museum has 6 months to make all of this happen. After 8 months in New York, the exhibit will tour the country. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
A look at the work being done behind the scenes at the American Museum of Natural History, and more stories in our series are at npr.org.